know you, know your eternal life, and walk in your holy ways. All God's people said, amen.
Have a seat. Happy Monday. Welcome back. It's snowy. It's finally winter. Anybody excited about the snow? It was time. It was time. Hey, today is not just Monday. It is a very important day. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the United States today. And we are so excited about what has been planned as opportunities to commemorate this day and to live into Martin Luther King's vision for justice in this place. A lot of work has gone into planning some events for us on this campus, so I wanted to draw your attention to them quickly. The first is that you're here for this chapel service, and I'll introduce our speaker in just a moment. Right after chapel, we're going to be doing our march from here to the Martha Miller Rotunda. We want to invite everybody to be part of that, so put on your hats and put on your gloves and be part of that civil rights march. Then we're going to be going to the rotunda to hear more from our speaker this morning, Dr. Rick Stevenson. You guys are invited to be part of that. There's a luncheon that's happening tomorrow that's all booked up. Sorry if you didn't get a seat. And then there's some other things happening too, like on Saturday there is, Friday and Saturday, there's a movie that's happening and other things like that. Let's invest some time this week in learning to imagine what it might look like to be part of God's coming kingdom of justice in the way that Martin Luther King did. And on that note, I want to introduce you guys to a really important person here in our area of the country. Dr. Rick Stevenson is a pastor. He's a pastor in Grand Rapids at a place called City Hope Ministries, which is a multicultural community of folks who are all worshiping together in the city of Grand Rapids. He's also a professor. He teaches African American history at Grand Valley State and the history of the African American church at Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. He's also a really cool guy. So he drives a motorcycle. He has these really, like, lots of cool leather jackets and stuff like that. So he is a person who loves the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has a vision for how we might live into God's kingdom here in West Michigan. I am thrilled to welcome my friend, Dr. Rick Stevenson, here this morning. Would you welcome him with me? All right.
Thank you. I am so excited about being here. I couldn't sleep last night, so if I nod out right now, don't worry about it. I only have 10 minutes. I got to do this real quick. I want to begin by thanking Reverend Kate and Patrick and Lori and all the people who invited us to come out. I want to preach from a text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body, by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not important, a part of the body, but because I'm not the hand, does that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Or if the whole body was an ear, where would the seeing or the smelling be? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange it would be if the body was only one part. Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word, we bless you, we thank you, and we're honored that you trust us with your word. Now speak to us, challenge us, don't allow us to leave this place the same way that we arrived. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully you've noticed by now that I happen to be a black preacher. And because of that, I'm accustomed to people talking back to me when I preach. So if you talk back to me, the more you talk, the shorter I'll be. Paul is writing a letter to a church that has a lot of problems. Has the problems with harmony. There were those who spoke in tongues, who had various gifts, who thought they were better than anyone else. He had a problem in the church with a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. They had problems with people who were married and still having sex with prostitutes. And so he writes this letter to try to show them and demonstrate them to them the importance of walking under the Spirit of God. And in chapter 12, he begins to talk about spiritual gifts. And from verses 1 through chapter 12, verse 11, he talks about the various different types of gifts and where the gifts come from. Verse 11, he says, that the Holy Spirit gives each one the gift according to his own will. And so therefore, every person in the body is there for a reason. So the title of this message is, Everybody in the Body is Somebody. Everybody in the body is somebody. Unity, diversity, and dependency. He says in verse 12 that the body of Christ, is similar to that of our physical body. He uses this metaphor of the body to demonstrate that though our physical body has different parts, every part is important. Imagine what it would be like if you woke up in the morning, say about 3 o'clock in the morning, and you had the munchies. Well, maybe not the munchies, because that would, but you're hungry. Maybe not the munchies. But you wake up in the morning, it's 3 o'clock, and you're moving from your bedroom to the kitchen. Bang! You hit your toe, and what happens? Does your body say, ah, it's just a toe? No, what happens is your mind says to your lungs, take a deep breath. Then it tells your vocal cords, holler. Then it tells your ears to, you know, do some equilibrium kind of stuff so you can, your whole body begins to react because of that one toe. And Paul argues that the body of Christ is just like that. It's a unit, but it's diverse. Imagine what it would like, what the world would be like if everybody was just like you. Suppose you woke up to yourself every morning and went to work to yourself every morning and drove home to yourself. I don't know about you, but I would get tired of Rick Stevenson all day long. And Paul was trying to argue that God made the body different for a reason. He made them black and white and Asian and Hispanic, etc., because he likes variety. There are over 450 types of bananas. Now, if God put that much time in the banana, how much more time, come on, talk to me, has he placed in us? He says that the body is a unit, but what makes a unit important is its ability to function differently. Imagine what your life would be like if your entire body was an eye. You couldn't walk, you couldn't hear, you couldn't converse, and yet what we attempt to do oftentimes is we invite people into the body of Christ, we want them to behave just like us. As a matter of fact, we put people out the group who don't behave like us, who don't sing our songs, who don't live in our neighborhoods, who don't drive the same kinds of cars. And yet, what Paul is trying to argue is that though the body is a unit, what makes it successful is the diversity. He says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up the one body. Some are Jews and some are Gentiles. God intended for us to have different cultures. There's a reason why there's a European culture and there's an Asian culture. I mean, imagine what it'd be like if everyone clapped on 1 and 3. Y'all didn't get that. Right over here. Imagine what it would be like if all of the rhythms that we listen to were the same. Imagine what it would be like if all the shows that we watch. There are different aspects of what it means to be diverse in the body of Christ. He also argues that because of that diversity, there is a need for dependency. Later on in verse 25, he says that there is a harmony that is developed when I can depend on you and when you can depend on me. That my skin color, my ethnicity, my economic background has nothing to do with the fact that you and I are still united by the Spirit of God. That if we don't do anything else, as you and I walk with God, we must recognize that Jesus Christ did not make a mistake when he made you who he made you and who when he made me who he made me. That God never says something like, oops. If I had knew he was gonna grow his hair like that, I would not have called him to be my son. God doesn't do that. God loves, as a matter of fact, the triunity of God is a community of diversity. God the Father and God the Son do not argue about their positions. You will never hear a conversation like this in heaven. This is my spiritual imagination. Now, Jesus is having a conversation with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, Lord, if it had been me on the cross, I would have done a little bit different than you. I probably wouldn't have yelled out like you did. No, you never have that conversation. They never argue about their roles because they recognize that though they function differently in the triunity, their roles were different and their differences is what made the thing work.
Imagine a football team with our quarterbacks. Who would catch? Who would center? Who would run? Imagine what the world would be like if everyone was exactly the same. And so Paul argues in this text that when God created the body of Christ, he created it to be diverse because it functions better with variety. That what you and I have to do as men and women of God is to recognize that who God made us, he made no one else like us. Even if you have a twin, your twin is not just like you. Out of all the billions of people that God has created, there are no two exact people on the planet. There never has been, there never will be. And if God decided that, why do we spend so much time trying to make each other like each other? Paul says, if you really want to understand what it means to be in the body of Christ, recognize that the unity is connected to diversity and that diversity leads to dependency. And when we depend on one another, we recognize and admonish and deal with and are concerned with and promote the diversity, the body of Christ looks like something that God wants. So what have we learned? We learned that God did not make a mistake when he made you like he made you. That he took a lot of time to make you 6'2" or 3'5". He took a lot. That was pretty good. I'm write that down. He took a lot of time when he taught some people to clap on 2 and 4 and some to clap on 1 and 3. He took a lot of time when he made some people to jump and some people not to jump. He made all of these things happen because he himself loves variety. And when we try to make people behave like us, when we say that they are not good enough because they don't think like us and don't walk like us, what we're saying is that God made a mistake. So as we leave for today, what I'd like you to keep in your mind is that God didn't make a mistake with you. What he's challenging you to do is to be the best you that you can be. Don't worry about what other people say, because people are always going to talk about you. People will always find a way to say something about you that's negative. I'll close with this. I was preaching a sermon yesterday. I was talking about Mary, and I was trying to explain to my congregation how to walk in the shadow of stigma, being different. Because how do you explain at 14 years old, when you're married or engaged to someone else and you're walking across your campus or your town and all of a sudden your clothes begin to fit differently because you're gaining weight, and the reason you're gaining weight is because you're pregnant, and your husband says, "So Mary, what's up?" I mean, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. All of a sudden things are starting to swell and I don't know anything about this, and you say, "God did it." Imagine how Joseph must have felt on the basketball court while he's playing around with the guys, and the guy says, "You know, Joe, listen, what's up with Mary, man? I've been looking at her lately, and she kind of..." Most of their lives, they had to live under the stigma of being different. And imagine Jesus. You know, he's in the playground and he's hanging out with the kids and stuff. And you know how kids are. Kids can be very cruel. So who is your daddy? And he says, "God." Imagine living under that stigma all of his life. And the thing that kept him going was the cross. The thing that drove him was his mission to get to the cross so that you and I could sit here today and talk about unity, diversity, and dependency. God bless you.